Today I'd like to deliver a message on Timothy, who the Apostle Paul said he had none like Timothy. Timothy was in a class of his own, and we can actually learn a lot about his very humble beginning and how he progressed over time. He proved himself faithful to the point where he became a church overseer. And the Apostle Paul addressed two of his epistles directly to Timothy, and there are all kind of important truths in those two Timothy epistles about how things are to be done inside of the church. We first read of Timothy in Acts chapter 16. At the beginning of that chapter, we find out that the Apostle Paul and Silas came to Derbe and Lystra, and Lystra was the hometown of Timothy. And when we first read of Timothy, he was already a disciple. Now his mama was a believer, but not his dad. His father was a Greek, and that shows that he was an unbeliever. So Timothy's mom and dad were split as far as religion is concerned. Also, we find out, if we would back up just two chapters to Acts chapter 14, that Lystra was a very paganistic city. Very, very paganistic. There was a person who was healed who had been lame from birth, and people were so moved by what had happened that they wanted a sacrifice to both Paul and Barnabas. They called Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul Hermes. And they called the Apostle Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And that shows you something about how paganistic Lystra was. I mean, you're not talking a town that had already been infiltrated with the gospel and they were for the most part Christian and Bible reading. No. So when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas got there, they're preaching the truth to people that virtually never heard it before. And that lines up with what the Apostle Paul said elsewhere. He liked to go into virgin territory and deliver the message to such people. Zeus and Hermes were two Greek pagan deities. And even though it's not real clear, in Acts chapter 14, somewhere in that time period is probably when Timothy became the spiritual son of the Apostle Paul. Even though Timothy's mama was a believer, her impact on her son coming to salvation was not enough. It took the Apostle Paul and Barnabas coming into that area and the man being healed and the things that followed afterwards that brought Timothy to his salvation. And this is a very important event in the Apostle Paul's life as far as I'm concerned, because this is where the Apostle Paul was stoned and they drug him out of the city thinking he was dead. And it says that the disciples gathered around him, and now we don't really know if perhaps some of those disciples were Timothy's mother and grandmother. We just don't know. But when we get to Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him. And this is the Apostle Paul's second missionary trip, and they needed a helper. Because on his first missionary trip, the helper of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas was John Mark, and he deserted them. And that really led to the split up between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. At which point, the Apostle Paul chose Silas. So this is Paul's brand new traveling companion. And they're together, now they need a helper, and they came over here to Lystra, and the Apostle Paul wanted to take Timothy along. And that's exactly how Timothy started out. Now remember that. Timothy started out as the Apostle Paul's helper, and it's not clear in Acts 16, but it is elsewhere. In Acts chapter 19, verse 22, that's about three chapters later, we find out that both Timothy and Erastus were helpers of the Apostle Paul. Let me read that scripture. It says this, Acts 19:22. He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. So three chapters later, Timothy is still a helper. He's doing something very minuscule. Remember now, Stephen started out waiting on tables. We also find out that Joshua was the helper of Moses. We find out that Elisha was the helper of Elijah. And a similar kind of a thing here with Timothy. Very humble beginning, but it didn't stay that way. He progressed over time. He proved himself. He showed himself faithful. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, that the Apostle Paul said he didn't have anybody like Timothy. And I'll deal more with that later, but he said, everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy was different. So Timothy is now traveling with the Apostle Paul and Silas. And when you travel with the Apostle Paul, especially at a time like that in that part of the world, it was a very dangerous thing to do. And when the Apostle Paul got beat, stoned, and he was in constant danger and people were pursuing him to kill him and there were conspiracies against his life, oftentimes Timothy was there with him. So Timothy would see a lot of action. It would not be a boring thing as the Apostle Paul and Silas went into an area and he was there helping. And when they started out in Acts chapter 16, they had all kind of interesting things occur. And of course, if you're acquainted with Acts 16 and the beginning of the church at Philippi, you could read the details how that began. Now, that's an important event because later on, the Apostle Paul is going to write to that same group of people about Timothy. But they're traveling along and they're doing all these different things. And you could see all through the different Pauline epistles where the Apostle Paul mentions Timothy. Timothy is being sent here. He's being sent there. He's carrying a message. He's doing this for Paul. He's doing that for the Apostle Paul. I'll give you an example. In 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11, we read this. He's writing the church at Corinth, and he said this about Timothy. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. So Timothy must have been, reading between the lines, not a very impressive kind of a person to see. And it seems like he might have been on the timid side. We do know for sure that Timothy was sickly. We know he was sickly because clearly the Apostle Paul told him he had frequent stomach illnesses. Now we don't know why, if it was dysentery or whatever, we can only take a wild guess at it. But regardless, when the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, he wanted to make sure that Timothy would have nothing to fear, that people would take him in. In other words, that they would help him while he was there. He would need food, he would need shelter, etc. And then we read another time that the Apostle Paul was sending Timothy. But this time, it shows more of a concern about what is happening, and it says something about the Christian life as well. And this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now listen to this. Starting at the beginning of that chapter, we read this. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. So here, he's being sent to these Thessalonians so that they could receive strength and encouragement from him. Now that's important. He's not just carrying a message. He's doing more than just carrying a message. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. So apparently, the Apostle Paul was concerned that these Christians in that city were going through trials, and he knew that there could be potential danger. Consequently, Timothy needed to be there to strengthen them and help them through these trials. Paul goes on and he says, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Now, that's a very important key. Notice that. He said, when I could not stand it any longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter, another name for the devil, might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Apparently what had happened is their faith was in jeopardy. Their faith could have been destroyed because of trials and persecutions coming on them because they were Christian, because they made a Christian stand. And Paul wanted to find out what is happening. Notice he didn't just pray for them. Certainly he did that too. But he wanted someone who could be trusted to go there and take the message to strengthen and encourage them in the faith, to keep them pressing on, not to give up, not to be discouraged. just to hang in there and remember that as Christians, you have the very best that this life can offer. And I'd like to take a moment and say that for all those that will hear this. You have the very best that this life, that this world could ever offer if you are truly a Christian. Even though there are trials and persecutions and problems that will crash down on you, because you are Christian, you still have the best. So don't let the tempter come to you and try to tempt you and lure you away from God and lure you away from the truth that's found in God. So, when Timothy returned to the Apostle Paul, he brought the good news about their faith and love, and that made the Apostle Paul obviously very happy. He was encouraged about the news. And that's how we should be. When a brother or a sister, somebody like that, is standing in the faith, even though they're going through rough times, maybe physical problems or some kind of financial calamity, we need to be happy that they're standing firm in God and not buckling under the pressure. And we read on through the different epistles, and we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Apostle Paul, at the very end of his life, now this is considered the very last epistle that Paul wrote before he was martyred, and he's telling Timothy something here. He said all kind of things to Timothy in these two epistles addressed to him, but the one I'd like to mention first is this one over here in chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. He mentions Alexander the metal worker. And he told Timothy that Alexander the metal worker did him much harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. So the Apostle Paul did not want Timothy to put him on the church prayer list. He didn't say, make sure you pray for Alexander the metal worker to come to salvation because he did me a great deal of harm. I have no doubt the Apostle Paul forgave him because we read other scriptures how important it is to forgive people that would sin against us so that our own sins can be forgiven. But there are some people that are incorrigible, so to speak. They're not going to move. They're not going to change for their own good. And apparently Alexander the metal worker was one of them. It could be that he was a metal worker, implying that he made idols. And when the Apostle Paul came along and preached the message of God, oftentimes the idol makers, that profession, suffered financially. And perhaps that's what has happened here. Alexander realized that his livelihood could be jeopardized because of the Apostle Paul and the gospel, the Christian gospel going forth, and he strongly opposed what the Apostle Paul was doing. But Paul wanted Timothy to know about Alexander. This is a bad guy, Timothy. Watch out for him. Mark him. He didn't say, you try to win him to God. You try to open his eyes up. He warned him about this problem. We can learn from that very thing, what he wanted Timothy to know. Now, Apostle Paul considered Timothy not only his spiritual son in the faith, but somebody he dearly loved. And he prayed for him day and night. So he loved him. He was concerned for him. And of course, they have a common goal, and that's to spread the message of God, the gospel message, and to help the Christians stand, to help the Christians continue, because we have to persevere. We have to continue to the very end to get into God's kingdom. And not everybody does that. Some people go back as a dog returns to his vomit, as Peter said. Other ones, they apostatize and they start to follow Satan, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that some widows did. As we continue to read on through the New Testament, we come to Hebrews chapter 13, 23. We read something about Timothy which implies he was probably in prison for a time. And it's not clear, but this is what the verse says, and you could listen and decide for yourself. It says, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. Okay, now what does that imply? If Timothy has been released, he must have been put somewhere. He must have been arrested and locked up somewhere. But now at this point in time, he was released. Just like the Apostle Paul. At times, the Apostle Paul would be locked up in prison, beat, and they would release him. The Apostle Paul called him his true son in the faith. That's 1 Timothy 1:2. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And as he warned Timothy about Alexander the metal worker, he also wanted Timothy to do something else for Timothy's good, but not only for Timothy's good. It would be for the good of the whole Christian body at large, because Timothy is a spiritual leader. Just traveling with the Apostle Paul and associating with the Apostle Paul, even in a minuscule way, would put him in the limelight, so to speak. And he wanted Timothy to hold on to faith and a good conscience in 1 Timothy 1:19. And he goes on and he says, why? Because some people have rejected these, that is faith and a good conscience. And what happened? Paul said they shipwrecked their faith. They became a shipwreck of the faith. And Paul knew that could happen to Timothy. So for the Calvinists, the once saved, always saved people to say, well, if that occurs, you were never saved to begin with. Well, we know that's false because Timothy was certainly saved. And the same horrible thing that happened to these people that shipwrecked their faith, Paul knew could happen to Timothy. Then the Apostle Paul named the ones that shipwrecked their faith. And they shipwrecked their faith because they didn't hold on to faith in a good conscience. And the two he mentions here were Hymenaeus and Alexander. And Paul said he handed them over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So they became blasphemers. They went from Christians to blasphemers. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we learn something else about Timothy. This is a scripture that brings to mind a man that I did a good bit of street evangelizing with. And he was very young at that time. He was around 20 years of age. And sometimes he would actually quote this scripture because he felt he was at a major disadvantage because of his youth. In 1 Timothy 4:12, reading from that point on, Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life, love, faith, and impurity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and the teaching. So the Apostle Paul just cited Timothy's gifts. Timothy's spiritual gifts, which he was told to devote himself to, were the public reading of scripture, preaching, and teaching. Now, this tells me something about what they did in the early church. 1 Timothy 4:13 implies, since Timothy was to devote himself to the public reading of scripture, then they must have read the scriptures in the Christian congregations just like the Jews did in the synagogue. It implies that Timothy was a fluent, good reader. Not everybody is. And also he could preach and teach. And Paul went on and he said this in that same chapter, 1 Timothy 4. He said, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And now listen to this verse. This is 1 Timothy 4:16. A very important verse for spiritual leaders. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Now, he's talking about those that preach and teach and that would do that sort of thing. People that have influence over others. Other people would be watching them. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, if you didn't actually read 1 Timothy 4:16 to people that claim to believe the Bible and show them clearly, it says right here that under grace, Christians save themselves, they would absolutely scream and holler heretic and legalism and work salvation, and oftentimes they do it anyhow. Paul could not have been more clear. He told Timothy to do these things for himself. It was up to Timothy. It was his responsibility. And if he did, he would save both himself and his hearers by watching his life and his doctrine closely and persevering in his life and his doctrine. And to watch your life and persevere in your life means your behavior, your conduct, the things you do and you don't do, and obviously doctrine, because doctrine is something that is extremely important. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, like in Titus chapter 1, to be qualified to be a spiritual leader, you have to have sound doctrine, but you also have to be of godly character. You could not even get in such a position if you were not sound in doctrine and of godly character. And because that is fact, we can rest assured that Judas was once saved. Because for Jesus to put Judas in that type of position, highest office in the church as apostle, he would have had to have been of godly character and sound in doctrine. And if he wasn't, then Jesus actually sinned. He violated those commands that we are to keep even in our day. You could see what all spiritual leaders need to watch out for, because if a spiritual leader goes down, if there's some kind of scandal, obviously it's going to hurt people. So this is vital if you're in any type of ministry. And then we come just one chapter later, after he's telling Timothy to watch his life and doctrine closely, chapter 5, verse 22, he told Timothy to keep himself pure. He said, don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. keep yourself pure. So he was pure. Timothy was pure, and Paul wanted him to be alert to the fact that it was up to him, and he needed to keep himself pure. And that's the battle, because we're in a battle against sin, and we can do it. In the Lord, we can do it. We can resist the devil, he'll flee. We can obey God. We can crucify the flesh. We do not have to yield to the temptations of the devil. And in the same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, the very next verse, just after he told Timothy to keep himself pure, he told Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine for your stomach and your frequent illnesses. So we know Timothy was frequently ill. And I do not necessarily believe that this wine has to be alcoholic wine. Besides, he told him just to use a little wine because of his stomach. So apparently, in this case, that little bit of wine would have been like a type of medicine. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that the Apostle Paul, who had great faith and had miracles all through his ministry, which he would have to have signs and wonders to qualify for an apostle, he certainly must have prayed for Timothy, but Timothy still had physical problems. He had frequent illnesses. So it's not wrong to try to help yourself out in a natural way with eating or drinking certain types of food to help your physical health, or perhaps the opposite, not eating certain types of food. In 2 Timothy, we have a section of scripture here that is very touching. It shows how close the Apostle Paul and Timothy were. It seemed like everybody was close to Paul. Paul was a very loving, giving, super spiritual giant. And Timothy is his spiritual child, his helper, and he's sending Timothy around. And Timothy has all kinds of responsibilities as a church overseer. He's a preacher, he's a teacher, he reads scripture publicly. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. So the Apostle Paul prayed for Timothy day and night. And the next verse says, recalling your tears, I long to see you. So you get the idea that when they parted ways for the work of the Lord, Timothy was in tears. He was so sorry to see his spiritual father leave. And Paul said he also longed to see Timothy, that he would be filled with joy. And then he describes Timothy here. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So here we have, in 2 Timothy 1, the name of his mother. In Acts 16, all we know about her there is that she's a believer, but now we find out her name is Eunice. And apparently, she come to the Christian faith because of her mother, or Timothy's grandmother, who was Lois. Nothing about his father's side, everything on his mama's side. So his father's side is dark. No truth from God at all. And the Apostle Paul writes about Timothy, he said, I am persuaded now lives in you also. That is that sincere faith, which was alive in both Lois and Eunice. And then Paul said something which is very stirring to me. He said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So it seems, it's implied, that here Timothy might have been slowing up. If you have a fire and it's dying out, you need to fan the flame to get it to start burning in a better way. And that's what he's telling Timothy to do here in a spiritual manner in regards to the gift of God, which he got through the laying on of hands from the Apostle Paul. And Paul said God didn't give him that spirit of timidity. So Timothy was a timid kind of person. He had frequent illnesses. He was young. So you get an idea from these characteristics of Timothy scattered about throughout the New Testament, what he must have been like. Perhaps you know someone like that. Perhaps you're like that. You might think, well, there's no hope for somebody like that, but that's not true. Look at Timothy. Look how far Timothy advanced. There's always hope in the Lord. God's not looking for people that have a lot of natural abilities. God's looking for someone that will give to God their entire heart. You remember the little boy, he gave his entire lunch. Now, this is a little boy's lunch. Not very much, but God got what he wanted from that little boy. That little boy gave it all. And God used what that little boy gave to feed thousands of people. So you might not have very much. Most of us don't. But if you give it all to God, give your heart entirely to God. There's a scripture in Proverbs that comes to mind right now. I didn't intend to speak this way, but nonetheless, since I've started this path, I want to make a few more points before I come back to Timothy. A lot of people, especially seems like new converts, want to go and teach and they're not qualified to teach. They have zeal, but they don't have knowledge. Zeal without knowledge is not good. In other words, you need to know what you're talking about. Oftentimes, people are zealous, they're interested in spreading the message of God, and they want to help others. Their intentions are good, but unfortunately, they're spreading the wrong kind of message, and it actually does harm. So if you want to be used by God, give Him your heart and apply yourself to the Word of God. Learn the Scriptures and preach the Word like Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul said, after he mentioned that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power of love, of self-discipline, he said, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So if you're going to spread the gospel, you're going to suffer. I remember early in my Christian life, I realized that if I am going to be a fruitful Christian, if I am going to make an impact on lives like I want to make, then I will have to suffer persecution. There will be trouble that will crash down on me, and I mean to tell you that has certainly been the case. And I want you to know that is exactly how it is with you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, which means that if you're not suffering persecution, you're not living godly. And the more godly you live, the more interested in spreading the gospel message, the plan of salvation, the biblical teaching, the more trouble will come your way based on the message of the Bible. So the Apostle Paul, who really loved Timothy and wanted the best for him and prayed for him day and night, he invited him, which he had already been invited, to come and suffer with him for the gospel. It's kind of strange that Paul would put this in here because Timothy and Silas and him had all kind of adventures together. And Timothy, you would think, would certainly know all about this already, but the Apostle Paul felt, as he was led by the Holy Spirit to write, he needed to hear this again. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we learn something about his godly mother and probably godly grandmother. Because in 2 Timothy 3:15 it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Well, who do you think taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures from the time he was an infant? That was his mama, who was Eunice, and his grandmother, who was Lois. But in spite of the fact that he knew the Scriptures, he still didn't become a believer until the Apostle Paul came in that region. Because somewhere along the line, the Apostle Paul became his spiritual father. And the only thing recorded in the Bible in regards to when Paul went in Lystra was in Acts chapter 14, when he was stoned and drunk out of the city. So somewhere during that visit, Timothy must have been saved. He must have been converted. And like he said here in 2 Timothy 3:15, the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you want to find out what God has to say about how to get your sins forgiven and how to enter His paradise kingdom, you have to glue yourself to the message of the Bible. Because it's only in the Bible that you're going to find out what the Scriptures say. I know there are a lot of books out there that claim to be Scripture, but they're counterfeits. Just like there are false prophets, there are false Scriptures. To know the Scriptures is to know God's truth. Now, somebody might say, well, aha, right here, no doubt, the Apostle Paul is referring to what we would call in our day the Old Testament Scriptures. And when Paul quoted Scripture and told people about the Scriptures being final authority, that he was referring to what we call the Old Testament. Well, that's partially true, but it's also partially not true. Because Peter said Paul's writings were Scripture. And we know from other Scriptures throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is bringing back into their mind what Jesus taught them, even though it might have been years later that they wrote it down. And it's holy men of God that are moved upon by the Spirit of God that write the Scriptures. So it's not just, as we would say, the Old Testament. It's also the New Testament, which is final authority. And when Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not pass away, it's not just what we would read in our red letter edition that came from the actual lips of the Lord Jesus, but it's also what would be from the pen of Peter and Paul and James, Jude, etc. And he's telling Timothy, among other things, now as an overseer. Remember I said that before? I said that he started out as a helper and he progressed to overseer. In 2 Timothy 2:2, The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." The implication is the Apostle Paul's not going to be around much longer. He's going to pass and go be with the Lord. So Timothy's going to have to continue on. And he's going to have to pass on these teachings that the Apostle Paul preached and he guarded for the sake of souls and for the sake of the kingdom to reliable men who are qualified to teach. Not everybody's qualified to teach. If you're a brand new convert, it says in 1 Timothy 3 that you are disqualified at that point in time. He's not to have a new convert in as a spiritual leader because he could be lifted up in pride and fall under the condemnation of the devil. And if you fall under the condemnation of the devil as a new convert, you lose your salvation. So it would certainly be counterproductive to put the wrong type of person in, somebody that's not qualified. It takes time after you become a new convert before you're actually in a position where you can start to teach others. You yourself need to grow to the place that you're not going to think you're really something because you're now teaching others. Absolutely not. A teacher's judgment will be more strict according to James 3:1. It's a very fearful thing to preach, but woe to you if you're called to preach and you don't preach, like the Apostle Paul said of himself. So if God calls you to preach, you better go do it. But you better make sure that what you're preaching lines up with the Word of God because your judgment will be more strict. So Timothy's being told here as a church overseer who should be put in the positions that we would call a teaching position. People that are qualified. Not just a person that's a family member. Not somebody that is a rich person, a businessman. Somebody that has musical talent. But somebody that is actually qualified to teach. Somebody that's spiritually reliable. Somebody that can handle the kind of temptations and the persecutions and the problems and troubles that will come his way. And the very next verse says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And again, it's kind of a mystery that Paul would say this because Timothy had already done that. He traveled with the Apostle Paul and Silas, and there were all kinds of hardships. And he was acting like a good soldier in the army of God. But here he's telling him, and to me, again, it shows that perhaps Timothy was starting to slow up. He was starting to become a little lukewarm, and he needed to fan into flame the gift that was within him. He needed to get back with it. And Paul said, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." And if you're a Christian, your commanding officer, I said commanding officer, is Jesus. He doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. What would a civilian affair be? I remember when I went to Bible school, I asked one of the teachers there, and he did not like my question. I said, "Would civilian affairs be like Christians playing basketball?" And he was afraid to answer. But let's face it, folks. Anything that's not directly related with spreading the message of the New Testament that's going to have an eternal impact on people, isn't it a waste? It's a civilian affair. It's not what the commanding officer told you to go do. He said, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. We're supposed to shine our spiritual light. To go and play basketball, softball, do things like that. Let's face it. Any unsaved, darkened person can do that. We're supposed to be different. Now, I know that's not on a par, such as going out to a bar, let's say, or going gambling at Las Vegas or doing something ungodly like that. But nonetheless, the Bible shows us that there are things that are called thorns that can snuff out the fruitfulness of God's word. It can actually choke out the effectiveness of God's word. And civilian affairs, as they are called here, would certainly be in that category. Going off into things that are not related to the work of God. So Timothy started out as a helper for the Apostle Paul and Silas, and he continued to progress and progress and progress. And now we know for a fact that he has influence over churches, because in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to continue to remind all of the Christians that he would come into contact with what is stated in those verses. And if that's the case, that it's that important to be repeated over and over in various locations, we need to take a close look at it. And this is what he said. "Here's a trustworthy saying, if we died with him," referring to Jesus, "we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. I don't know about you, but I really get upset when people profess to be Christian, they profess to be preaching holiness, and they actually teach that you can disown Jesus and he won't disown you, which is the exact opposite of not only what we read right here in 2 Timothy 2:12, but also the exact opposite of what Jesus himself taught in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. It really bothers me. And I can't understand why other people that are allegedly on the same page are not really big time bothered like I am. Now we are over here, but there are too many people that seem to not be stirred when somebody's teaching the exact opposite to what Jesus taught, the exact opposite of what Paul taught, and yet the same person would claim to be teaching the same plan of salvation, claim to be a Christian, claim to be a follower of Jesus, claim to be teaching grace, but isn't. And what these people do, and it's not just the eternal security people, because even some people that reject once saved, always saved, teach that you could disown Jesus, but he won't disown you. What they tend to do is use verse 13, where it says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. But notice, it doesn't say that he cannot disown you. It says he cannot disown himself. What this verse is saying is, God has given us his word. And in this case, it's a warning. And if you disown him, he's given us his word that he will disown you. So therefore, he will remain faithful. He will be faithful to his warning. Because if he wasn't faithful to disown you like he warned he would actually be disowning himself, not standing by his own word. So he will disown you. If you disown Jesus, he'll disown you. And it can happen to real believers, as it happened to Peter and others. And if Jesus disowned you, you're no longer saved. So you don't need any other verse other than this passage in Matthew 10:33 to disprove once saved, always saved. There is no once saved, always saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And Paul wanted these Christians to repeatedly know about this, that it is a lie, that you have to endure. And if we endure, we'll also reign with him. And you could check it out for yourself. You're either going to reign with God forever, with Jesus, or you're going to go to the lake of fire. So when he says, if we endure, we'll also reign with him, that's the positive side of the equation. If you don't endure, you're going to the lake of fire. And oftentimes people would disown Jesus because of fear, because of persecution, other problems like that. And the problem with that, obviously, is if you try to extend your physical life for how long? A year? 5 years? 25 years? 55 years? What good is it? If he disowned you, if you lose your salvation, what good is it? Now, of course, Peter came back, but not everybody always comes back. David came back to his salvation, but Solomon didn't. Neither did Judas. Judas never came back to his salvation. Judas died and he went to hell. We know he went to hell because the Bible says, woe is a man who betrays a son of man, it would be better for him if he had not been born. And prior to that, Judas was a Christian. So Paul told Timothy here in 2 Timothy 2 verse 14, keep reminding them of these things. So this was a repeated message that Timothy would give the early Christians. And if you're trying to spread the message of God as they did in the early church, you should be repeatedly expressing these truths to other people. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through verse 14. Now grab hold of this. Don't miss this one. Very important truth here. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. That's 2 Timothy 2:16. Remember before he told Timothy to keep himself pure, ears telling him, avoid godless chatter. And if you don't do that, if you indulge in that, you'll become more and more, not godly, but you'll become more and more ungodly. So here's a key. Here's a key. Avoid godless chatter. And if you indulge in godless chatter with unsaved people, that's where you get it. You also get it over secular TV. That's godless chatter. TV is godless chatter. You'll become more and more ungodly. And he went on and he said, now listen to this. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. So false teachers can actually destroy the faith of some Christians. Not all Christians, but just some of them. Some of them that are not on guard like they need to be, that are too gullible, that they're just going to believe anything they hear from somebody that would profess to be a Christian. Some people are like like that. Some people just believe anything. Somebody claims to be an apostle or prophet or whatever, they think that they should listen to him. If somebody says they don't believe in eternal security, they think, aha, he's sound. Let's listen to him. He doesn't believe in eternal security. Folks, there are many false, dangerous teachers that reject eternal security. And Paul right here named these dangerous teachers. He said Hymenaeus and Philetus. Some people get upset at us because we name names, but we're doing what the Bible shows to do. We're following the example set down in Scripture. Paul named names. It was to the advantage of Christians to know that Hymenaeus and Philetus were destroying the faith of some. That they're not on the Christian side. They're not on our side. They're on the wrong side. They're doing the work of the devil, even though they might claim to be doing the work of God. So Paul named false teachers. And then again we find out an indication that Timothy is still young, and this is the last time the Apostle Paul will address him. He said in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth. So Timothy must have still been young at this point. We don't know how old he was. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe Timothy started out at the age of 14 traveling with the Apostle Paul and Silas. We don't know. He could have been 18. He could have been 20. I don't know. But at this point, it's implied when he said, flee the evil desires of youth, that Timothy was still a youth. And he's telling Timothy, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now here's one of the most important verses for us all, and it was directly given to Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, if you want to do the work of God, get in the scriptures. Learn the Bible. Preach the word. Act on the word of God. Think about it. Put it into practice. And it says you're thoroughly equipped for every good work with the scriptures alone. And if you're going to attempt to correct somebody, you got to do it with scripture. Sometimes people will send us emails endeavoring to correct us, but they don't use scripture. So immediately what they've written is invalidated. It doesn't mean anything because it's not based on scripture. To have power behind it, it has to be based on scripture. And then we find out this. The Apostle Paul gave Timothy this charge, this command. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Now notice that. He's telling Timothy, back in Timothy's day, the time's going to come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is what's found in the Bible. They're not going to put up with it. And he went on, he said, instead to suit their own desires, that's evil desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to mythology, to fables, to fairy tales. They're going to turn away from the truth and turn aside to mythology. They have turned their ears away from the truth for the most part. They have sought out these teachers to tickle their ears, to tell them what they want to hear. They have sinful desires, and there's wicked teachers out there that are trying to just appease these sinful people. Rather than preaching for their soul's sake, they're preaching instead to get their money, to get their backing for their own personal ministry or for their own personal congregation or for some other reason. Now, grab hold of this one. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. He told Timothy, who's also a pastor and an overseer, do the work of an evangelist. I remember once I went in a church and the pastor, I'm not so sure if I should really use that word with him, but he said that he himself was a shepherd and it's sheep that beget sheep. So in other words, he's telling the congregation to go out and win souls and bring them in. But if he's a real pastor, he's supposed to do the work of an evangelist. He himself is supposed to spread the gospel. He himself is to try to get souls saved. That's the problem in our day. Many of the people that are in spiritual leadership should not be there. They're there, sad to say, and doing much harm, but they should not be there. That is just one example. Now, at the beginning of this message, I referred to this passage here in Philippians. Let me read this over. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul describes Timothy here. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. The Apostle Paul said he had nobody like Timothy. Everyone else looked out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but that wasn't the case with Timothy. Timothy had proved himself as a son with his father, a spiritual son with a spiritual father. He served with the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. He started out small, and he became a spiritual leader. And remember that if you humble yourself before the Lord, he'll give you grace. But you also have your own responsibility under grace. You're to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You're to seek and you'll find. So you apply yourself to the scriptures, reading it directly, and you'll learn and you'll grow so that you could better serve God and be a blessing, a spiritual blessing and help to many others. Truth is what people need. And they need the message of the Bible to get that truth. God bless you.